Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, Afghanistan falls. Did it just fall to the Taliban as well as to China? With the Department of Homeland Security documentation shows that if you're opposed to the COVID vaccine and question the election of November 2020, you might be a domestic terrorist. We'll show you the information. COVID passports are spreading, and the U.S. Army has an ad out for people to be involved in the setup and maintaining and running of internment camps. What on earth is going on? And the sad news of the passing of our friend, Jimmy DeYoung. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. We are live tonight, 8:01 p.m. Central Time on Sunday night, August 15th. As you know, I've been hosting this Sunday night show every Sunday night since 2015. We're pleased tonight to be streaming not only on WVW Broadcast Network, but also frankspeech.com. And we are also glad that this is broadcast on TV 30 in Milwaukee. We have some disturbing news tonight that's taking place across the globe. We'll get to it. Lots of breaking news with Dr. Andy Woods and Leo Holman are my guests tonight. If you look at the screenshot right now, this is one of the topics we'll cover tonight. Potential terrorist threats, opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, belief Trump can be reinstated, and 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. Well, notice, my friends, those of you that are concerned about COVID measures, masked mandates, forced vaccinations, COVID passports, that would be your COVID measures, claims of election fraud, if you believe in election fraud, and who doesn't, really, for the right thinking person around, believe Trump can be put back in office. Well, you don't even have to believe that. Just how about claims of election fraud and opposition to COVID measures? Well, that puts you right in the camp with the Islamic terrorists that carried out 9/11. This is, again, an NBC screenshot and U.S. Department of Homeland Security. We'll talk tonight about the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban and that it also is going to benefit China. What are the prophetic implications? Look how China and Afghanistan are connected. See where the circle is there? Little sliver of blue going into China. Are there biblical implications to this? And we'll also get to some other topics as well. Before I get to my main topic about, at my open here, about the Mike Lindell Cyber Symposium, I would like to let you know some very sad news we received early this morning. If you show the screenshot, Logan, the passing of our dear friend, Jimmy DeYoung. This is a picture of him in our WVW Broadcast Network studio as we produced some of his TV shows. But he was a guest with me every Friday for 10 years. Every Friday for 10 years, he would join me for a Middle East update. And Jimmy DeYoung caught COVID. I had been talking to him through this time over the last 10 days, 2 weeks. I knew he was quite sick, because I called him a week ago Thursday, this past Thursday, to be on my broadcast, either that Thursday or Friday. And he said, I'm just not feeling well enough. And I knew then he was quite sick. He ended up being taken to the hospital. And I'm told if he had not been taken that night, he would have passed away. He was in ICU. He was not able to see his family very much at all, but thankfully they were with him when he passed away. At least his wife Judy was. His children were able to go in and be with him. I was a guest on his radio show on Saturday. It was recorded on Friday. And I talked about Dr. DeYoung and the friendship that he and I built over a decade with him on my show every Friday. In fact, I had the opportunity to talk about him, and I asked his son, Jimmy DeYoung Jr., if he had a chance to hear the show we did about him. He said, I stood right beside him and played it for him. It was the only time he acknowledged and smiled through his mask. So we are very sad at the passing of our broadcast partner and friend, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who spoke with me all over this country for Worldview Weekend rallies. And of course, he had his own radio show on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations. Many know him from his days on Days of Discovery, Day of Discovery Television. He reached millions, literally millions, around the world, living in Israel for over 20 years and conducting countless tours to Israel, a real student of the Bible. I texted a pastor friend of mine here in Tennessee today, told him about the passing of Dr. DeYoung, and Dr. DeYoung had spoken at his church a few years ago. He texted me back and said, I was always impressed with the massive amounts of Bible that he had memorized. And Jimmy DeYoung was known for being able to back up, well, pretty much every answer to every question with a Bible verse or two or three. He knew the Bible big time and was a Middle East expert. We'll miss Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, but we know he today has graduated, and it's us that are left behind. Pray for his wife, Judy, his kids. Jimmy DeYoung had four kids, I believe. But I know Jody, I know Rick, and I know Jimmy DeYoung Jr. I know those three for sure because I deal with him all the time. I'm pretty sure Prophecy Today is going to continue with the family, taking full control of that ministry and carrying out the heritage that Jimmy DeYoung has left. His website's prophecytoday.com, and I'm sure there'll be more news on his passing. Joining me now is Leo Holman. He's a journalist, he's an author, a researcher. He has spent years and years in the trenches, and he joins us tonight on his family vacation. He literally is at a family reunion, but he joins us tonight. But before he does join us, let me mention 4 points real quick. Tomorrow morning, we will be here, 11 a.m. Central Time, joined by Mike Lindell. We're going to have some breaking news for you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time. Please mark your calendar. 11 a.m. Central Time. There were some bad actors that penetrated the cyber symposium that was held this past week in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There are a lot of details coming out. I am not going to divulge those tonight. That will happen tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time. Special broadcast, Mike Lindell joining us. But I would ask you to consider a few points. The media, of course, well, they're busy writing a lot of articles about Mike's symposium. If Mike's symposium was a big nothing burger, here's what I'd ask you. Why was it under almost constant attack? We here at WVW Studios, WVW TV, who were involved with our organization and company in broadcasting the television aspects. We brought our cameras, our switchers, Logan and I, and then the camera guys we bring with us, our team here at WVW Studios and WVW TV, we're honored to be tapped by Mike Lindell to broadcast this out and produce it for television. Our team had to fight hard just to keep everything afloat, as well as our partner and IT guy extraordinaire, RJ Johnston of Johnston House. So if this was such a nothing burger, why was this conference online and our stream being attacked by somewhere around 1.6 million attacks? That's question number one. Number two, why did these state legislatures line up at the end of the 3 days, the full length of the stage, give their name, where they were from, and show their face and praise the 3 days, what they learned, and how they were going to use this information to help save America? If this had been a big nothing burger and waste of time, these state legislators would have not stayed for the 3 days. They would have left. And they certainly wouldn't have put their face and name all over television if it was a big nothing burger and a waste of time. To the contrary, you watch, as we'll be posting at frankspeech.com, their testimonies about the 3 days. They were exuberant. They were energized. They were ready to defend this country from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's point two. I would also ask this. Why, if this was a big nothing, was the, well, let's go to this one. Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters under attack after speaking at Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium. Why was her office raided while she was on her way to speak in Sioux Falls? Why was another gentleman's home raided with his children there? If this is all nothing, why is this going on? two, and I think I'm really added more than, I think I just had 2 points already, so I should really number these because I started adding even before I got to my list. Number two, though, in this list, someone reportedly attempted to put a poison pill into the cyber data being revealed and studied at the conference. That, well, we'll cover that more later, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time. Three, reports are that Antifa and other bad actors penetrated the cyber symposium. And four, Mike Lindell was physically assaulted in his hotel lobby. So if this was nothing, why did all these things occur? Because it wasn't just nothing. Lots and lots of information came out. And as it's posted at frankspeech.com, the entire full 3 days, you'll be able to watch it. Those of you who didn't get the chance, or rewatch it. And you'll see all the incredible content that was presented. So again, spread the word, tweet it, Facebook, email, text, call. Tomorrow, a special broadcast, August 16th, 11 a.m. Central Time, right here with Mike Lindell. Now that we've gotten that business out of the way, joining me now is journalist and researcher Leo Holman. Leo, thank you for joining us tonight.
And for having me on.
Leo, I want to go right away to this screenshot again, because you've got an article about it at leohoman.com. That's leohoman.com, folks. But here we have potential terror threats, opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, and 9/11 anniversary. So I guess now a big chunk of Americans are now being lumped in with the terrorists that carried out 9/11, and they can see in the bottom right-hand corner the NBC News logo. You want to comment on this, please, Leo?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security put out this terrorist alert sometime Friday, Brannon, and it was reported by NBC News, which, as you know, is the mouthpiece of the CIA, basically, in the news industry, among the TV, the major TV networks. NBC and CNN can usually be counted on to put out whatever propaganda the deep state wants to be put out to the American public. So on Friday evening, they put this alert out, equating people like us who speak out against the government's COVID-19 response, i.e. vaccines, forced vaccines and the like. They equated us along with the people who don't like the way the votes were tabulated on November 3rd with Islamic terrorists and 9/11. Really quite astonishing. And even more astonishing is I found out this weekend that the Army National Guard is currently advertising for, quote, internment and resettlement specialists.
Now, I have a screenshot of that on the screen right now for those who don't believe it. They can go to your article, leohoman.com, and you have a hyperlink for that, but there's the screenshot of it, Leo. Internment/resettlement specialist. Internment resettlement specialists are primarily responsible for day-to-day operation in a military confinement/correctional facility or detention/internment facility. Does it give any indication in this long description that this would be COVID camps or here in the U.S.?
It's an E-31 government classified job, Brandon. And the job duties are listed as, number one, supervision of confinement and detention operations. Number two, external security to facilities. Number three, counseling and guidance to individual prisoners within a rehabilitative program. Number four, records of prisoners and internees and their programs. That sounds suspicious to me, but it gets even more, it gets worse than that. We have a document put out by the U.S. Army in 2010, February 2010. It's a 326-page document titled Internment and Resettlement Operations Training Manual. And in this 326-page training manual, it says what people in these facilities will be doing. People can find it on the internet. I've got it linked in the article. They can read all 326 pages, or they can just read some of the highlights that I put in my article. Let me go down a few of the list. In section 3.3, 356 of this document, it describes the duties of a, quote, psychological operations officer in one of these camps. And it says what your duties are to, one, develop psyops that are designed to pacify and acclimate detainees or DCs to accept U.S. internment and resettlement facility authority and regulations. So there's that internment and resettlement facility. So we know we're now talking about the same type of facility that the current job description is listing in that Army National Guard ad, because that was called, they're looking for internment and resettlement officers. Number two, gains the cooperation of detainees or DCs to reduce the number of guards needed. Three, identifies malcontents, trained agitators, and political leaders within the facility who may try to organize resistance or create disturbances. Number four, develops and executes indoctrination programs to reduce or remove antagonistic attitudes within the camp. Number five, identifies political activists in the camp. Six, provides loudspeaker support. So we can only imagine what that will be.
Tokyo Rose.
Yes. That to me was a flashback to the movie Red Dawn, in that scene, if you remember, where the father was locked in a FEMA camp or some kind of government camp. And you could hear the loudspeakers, you know, just blasting the propaganda 24/7 on the other side of the fence when his sons came to visit him. Number six, helps the military police commander control detainee and DC populations during emergencies. And seven, plans and executes a PSYOP program that produces an understanding and appreciation of U.S. policies and actions. It talks about the five S's and one T technique that will be employed in these camps.
What is that, Leo?
Okay, they're talking there about search, silence, and segregate among the S's. Let me just go over what that means.
Okay.
Under search, it says neutralize a detainee and confiscate weapons, personal items, and terms of political intelligence and or evidentiary value. Silence, prevent detainees from communicating with one another or making audible clamor, such as chanting, singing, or praying. Silence uncooperative detainees by muffling them with a soft, clean cloth tied around their mouths and fastened at the backs of their heads.
Let me just stop you there for a second. If we're talking about people who are praying, then we're talking about either Christians, Jews, Islamists. I mean, the list is getting kind of, who are we talking about here? And it doesn't apparently be Islamists they're worried about, because Biden is letting them all take over the Middle East.
Right.
He's in bed with them. He's just given Afghanistan to China. Dr. Andy Woods will join us for that in a minute, giving it to the Taliban and China. So if you're worried about people praying, you start going down your list. That's probably not talking about Islamists, since this administration is so friendly to the Islamists. So are we talking about Christians and Jews here? Who are we talking about?
Well, if Buddhist, you recall,
Buddhist monks, I mean, Buddhist monks, because is that one of their target groups? I don't think so. I mean, you're kind of left with Jews and Christians. Who are they talking about here?
Well, they're talking, if we go back to the original NBC report about the Homeland Security terror alert that was put out Friday evening, it tells you who they're talking about. They're talking about people here who are upset about the election fraud that occurred the week of November 3rd last year. And they're talking about people who are very upset about the extreme government COVID restrictions and lockdowns that have been put in place and are now in the process of ramping up again. And also they talk about domestic terrorists, you know, tied, you know, to the same type of groups that did 9/11. So those are the groups they're concerned about. And then we see what the tactics are in these camps from this document. And this, as far as muzzling them with the face masks, think back to after 9/11, Brandon, when they captured a lot of these Muslim terrorists and they sent them to Guantanamo. There are pictures that have been smuggled out of Guantanamo with these Islamic prisoners in in these cages, basically, with face masks over their tied to their faces, like we're wearing now during the COVID lockdowns and the COVID social distancing and all that. So this has been long prepared. This document has been out there since February 2010 on how to treat basically political prisoners, all sorts of different prisoners, one of which are political in nature. It talks about them in depth in this document, and actually muzzling them with face masks. And also it says if the face masks don't work, it says do not use duct tape or other adhesives. Place a cloth or either objects in or either a cloth or other objects inside the mouth to stop people from communicating, prisoners from communicating with each other, and to quote, oh, and it says, or apply physical force to silence the detainees, quote unquote. So we're talking about some not so friendly treatment here of the people who will be brought to these camps. They'll be searched upon entry. They'll be silenced with face masks, and if you still are trying to communicate, they're going to use physical force against you. And then the final leg of the S's is to segregate people. It says segregate detainees according to policy and SOPs with segregation requirements and how they differ. It talks about how they differ from operation to operation. And so these are the tactics that will be used. They're setting up the camps. They're putting out job description advertisements to recruit people to staff these camps. They've told us what people they're looking for. They're building a narrative, Brannon, against people who are speaking out against the election fraud, people who are upset with COVID restrictions, and they're equating those people domestically with foreign terrorists.
Now, you remember last year or early this year, but I think it was last year, maybe it was early this year, I brought to you some information about what looked like federal funds being used to set up COVID internment camps in South Dakota on an Indian reservation. And we even found an Indian reservation newspaper with pictures bragging about it. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
Then let's add to it Executive Order 83. The governor of Tennessee here, real disappointment, has signed an executive order. We've gone through it on the air.
The Republican governor.
That also allows the setting up of COVID internment camps, does it not?
Absolutely. The Republican governor of Tennessee talking about calling out the National Guard to set up quarantine and isolation camps.
And being able to do an interview over the phone and then determine whether or not to come get you, correct?
Absolutely. And this document here also talks about this terror alert that was put out Friday by the Department of Homeland Security. It encourages Americans to, quote, report threats of violence, including online threats, to local law enforcement, FBI field officers, or local fusion centers. So they're encouraging Americans to snitch on each other and report on each other as potentially dangerous.
Yeah. Now I'm hearing feedback here really bad. Andy, if you could turn your mic off, Andy, that'd be great. All right, Secretary, or stop the recording, we can hear that. Look at the Homeland Security bulletin here. The Secretary of Homeland Security has issued a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin regarding the current heightened threat environment across the United States. So that's it, August 13th, 2021 to November 11th, 2021. And then look at this. This is a screenshot right from the DHS. DHS will continue to identify and evaluate calls for violence, including online activity associated with the spread of disinformation, conspiracy theories, false narratives by known or suspected threat actors, and provide updated information as necessary. Well, here's the problem. The Department of Homeland Security is going to be monitoring activity associated with the spread of disinformation. Who are they to decide that? Who's one man's disinformation is another man's truth? They would say everything we're putting out is disinformation.
I mean, it's even worse than that. I mean, disinformation, are they kidding? How in the world and when? At what point in America did it become illegal to have an opinion?
Exactly.
Basically, it doesn't matter what I'm saying is true or not, disinformation or what, I have a right to say it. This is America. We have the First Amendment. And yet now they're going to set up a situation, a network to have Americans snitch on their family members, their friends, their neighbors, maybe somebody they got in an argument with last week and they want to get even with them. So now they're going to call the FBI field office or a local fusion center and say, you know, Joe Blow, he said this, that, or the other, and I think he could be a potential danger. And now the FBI is going to open a case file on that person with absolutely no proof, no probable cause. Just one person calling them is all it will take.
And then conspiracy theories. Who decides that again?
Right. What I reported a year ago that we were going to end up with vaccine passports. And people called me a conspiracy theorist.
Absolutely.
Now, what's happening? We are rolling out vaccine passports. I even said it wouldn't be done by the government. It would be done by the corporations and the universities.
Right.
Yes.
And that's who's doing it. DHS is also advancing authoritative sources of information to debunk and, when possible, preempt false narratives and intentional disinformation. So, again, they're going to set up their propaganda to try to discredit the truth and providing educational materials to promote resilience to the risk associated with interacting with and spreading disinformation, conspiracy theories, and false narratives. So, again, these are your Facebook-like fact checkers, I guess, coming from the government.
Alan Duke. Lead Stories, yes.
Yep.
That all someone would have to do is report even to Facebook, correct, and then Facebook could turn that person in to the FBI for being a, quote, conspiracy theorist. Where is the law outlawing conspiracy theories? I've never seen one in America. I thought that was protected speech, but now they're telling us we have to be careful what we're saying, that it could be labeled a conspiracy theory or disinformation. It doesn't matter that it could end up being true, like 99% of what I've written. Today's conspiracy theorist, you know, is tomorrow's, cutting edge reporter. All we're doing is reporting the news before the mainstream reports it because they're too cowardly to report what's going on. And we're called conspiracy theorists. But I guess now they're going to put us on notice that we could be taken to some sort of isolation camp?
Well, now we're getting reports that the Biden administration is considering whether or not to shut down interstate traffic.
Yes. That should send shivers down every American spine that this so-called president, Mr. Biden, has actually discussed the possibility of shutting down interstate travel for people who cannot produce medical proof that they've been vaccinated. Well, that would take the military to enforce. There's no way police would even agree to try to enforce something like that, I don't believe, because it would... You're basically declaring war on half the U.S. population, telling them that they don't have any more freedom of movement.
Let's go to the screenshot. Look at this. This is my website, folks, worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com, where I put up a lot of articles. By the way, one of them today, the headline, former Pfizer executive Karen Kingston blows the lid off the COVID vaccine. That's going viral. We put that up this afternoon. That's going viral at WVWTV.com, my TV page, WVWTV.com. But if you go to worldviewreport.com, you'll see these articles, including one right here. Mandatory COVID vaccines at Tyson Foods leads to walkout amid food supply crisis. Again, something I've been warning about for a long time, Leo, as you know. We became a distributor of freeze-dried food through Mountain House back in 2016, I believe it was. We were mocked for promoting that and telling people, you better get ready. And we gave them all kinds of reasons they better get ready. 2020, people quit laughing and wished they'd bought up. Then there was a massive shortage industry-wide, and we've been stocking in new supplies for the last few weeks to get ready for what we believe is a huge bump coming, because people are starting to realize what's coming this fall and winter. And we've gone through great detail as to how the food supply could be so easily interrupted. And now we're reading an article, mandatory COVID passports or vaccines at Tyson's Foods leads to walkout amid food supply crisis. You want to comment?
Well, this is just a continuation of these Nazi policies of big business cooperating with big government, Brannon, to push their weight around and bully people into doing their bidding, obeying and being completely subservient to these big corporations. If they can force you to get an injection into your arm today of a substance that you are you have no idea what it is consisting of, in my opinion, there's nothing they can't force you to do. There is nothing more sacred than your personal sovereignty over your own medical choices. So if they can make you, get a vaccine for a coronavirus that has a 99.7% recovery rate, then what's to stop them from saying, all women must take birth control pills tomorrow? I mean, they could literally force you to do anything, take anything, if they can force you to do this. This is a monumental moment in U.S. history, in my opinion. Brandon, we're really heading down a dangerous path here, and I'm afraid too many people have their eyes, on the 2022 election, the 2024 election. I'm not sure we'll have a country left by then. People need to wake up and understand that this is such a important, dangerous path that we are about to undertake, that if they don't stand up and make their voices heard right now, there's not going to be anything left to save in 2 to 4 years.
Look at this other article on our website at worldviewreport.com. FDA knew all along there would be many COVID cases among the fully vaccinated and buried that knowledge. Leo?
Yes. It's the exact opposite of what they were saying when these vaccines were rolled out in December, January, February, March. What did they say? Protect yourself, protect your family, protect your community. They're safe and effective. Get the shot and protect yourselves. You might get COVID, they said, but it won't stop you necessarily from getting the COVID, but it'll be such mild symptoms, you won't be getting sick. Whereas if you don't get the shot and you get COVID, you're going to die. It's become the opposite now. The majority of the people being hospitalized for COVID either had the shot or they caught it from someone who had the shot. So you not only can get COVID, you can spread COVID after you get the shot. So we've got a bunch of super spreaders walking around freshly vaccinated. The worst is like the first 30 days after you've been vaccinated, spreading COVID.
Also over at my website, worldviewreport.com, look at this headline here. Chinese Communist Party leaders may already be in place in America for strategic overthrow of U.S. government. That'll bring you to my website, worldviewtimes.com. And this is by Colonel Lawrence Sullen. There are U.S.-based Chinese scientists collaborating with China's military based on direct evidence, arguably coordinating propaganda efforts with the Chinese Communist Party to absolve itself of responsibility for the COVID-19 pandemic. And then it goes on from there to talk about, again, many of these folks seem to be in place to help overthrow our government. This would be called conspiracy theory, but so many things we've reported have turned out to be true. And we know that many of these CCP folks are all over this U.S. And now Biden apparently has just given Afghanistan not only to the Taliban, but as we'll see in a minute, to communist China. I guess he's given a present to his handlers.
Absolutely, Brandon. And it really is at a turning point. We are at a crossroads. And if people don't rise up and say no to this stuff, we're going to have communism basically just walk right in and take over the country.
And then we also have New York, San Francisco, L.A. They're really starting to put in the COVID passports to go inside buildings, correct?
Correct. Large cities are going to fall like dominoes in the next few weeks if we don't put a stop to this. Large cities, we've already seen L.A., San Francisco do it. Philadelphia, I'm told, is considering it. New York has got it in place. Usually it starts at the top, New York, LA, San Francisco, and then it filters down to other large cities, then to medium size and even small cities. So we must stand up and say no. Even people who've been vaccinated need to say no. This is not the free America that I grew up in. I am not going to patronize any business that requires me to show my papers, even if I've been vaccinated. If you care about freedom, people, stand up. Now's the time. Make your voice heard. Do not patronize any of these businesses that are asking you to show proof of vaccination.
Absolutely. Leo Homan, his website, Leo Homan, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, leohoman.com. Right, Leo?
That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us on your family vacation.
Yes, and we'll be available whenever, Brandon, next week or the week after, and I'll be back in the home seat with better lighting. No. I know it's been, I'm looking like I'm in the shadows here.
Well, you're fine. We appreciate you joining us. I'm rather certain there's going to be news breaking this week that requires us to get you on. So thank your wife and family for allowing us to take you away during your family vacation.
Thank you, Brandon.
Leo Homan checking in. We're going to go now to our friend, Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Andy Woods is a trained lawyer and pastor, theologian. He has a real PhD, unlike some who run around with the name doctor in front of them. He actually has a real PhD in theology, as I said, a trained attorney. He's an expert on the Middle East as well. He'll also be one of the keynote speakers at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up the middle of October. Dr. Andy Woods, Bill Federer, General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell. We'll also have with us Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Kevin Freeman of the Economic War Room. Am I leaving anyone out, Logan? I think that's all of them. All the details are to register at wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks. Now, don't forget, as we're live here on the air tonight, August 15th at 8:37 p.m. Central Time on a Sunday night, tomorrow, 11 p.m. Central Time, we'll be back here at the news desk with Mike Lindell joining us with breaking news related to bad actors and people that penetrated the cyber symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, attempted to put a poison pill into the data that was being reviewed, and other things that are going to be revealed of a very large nature, I'm told, tomorrow during this 11 a.m. Central Time broadcast right here at frankspeech.com, and we'll endeavor to carry it at wvwtv.com/live as well. Like I said, Dr. Andy Woods joins me now. Dr. Woods, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Brandon, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I first would like your comments in regards to the passing of our mutual friend, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, this morning.
Well, I mean, it was, I'm happy for him because absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So from that standpoint, you know, I'm happy for him. But he was a blessing to us. He was a blessing to me personally, not just through his teaching, but his one-on-one sort of mentoring of me to some extent. And he's just another one of that great generation, you know, that's no longer with us. And you wonder how in the world, if at all, could we possibly fill their shoes? But here we are, and we're going to do our best.
Yeah, we are. And I knew you'd want to make those comments. Well, let's go back here to my computer and this screenshot here. Here we are from Al Jazeera. Taliban commanders say fighters have taken control of all Afghan government headquarters in Kabul. So there we go. We have the fall of Afghanistan, and Biden, Dementia Joe, is trying to blame it on the previous president, Donald Trump. But here we have the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. What do you think this means, Dr. Woods?
Well, you know, I always like to look at things from a prophetic angle, you know, just like the late Jimmy DeYoung would do. And it's very interesting because in the book of
the late Jimmy DeYoung, that'll take some getting used to, won't it?
Wow. Yeah, it will take some getting
just
used to.
Just passed away this morning for those just joining us.
Right. But Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes an invasion coming against Israel in the last days. And in verse 2 of Ezekiel 38, it mentions one of those players as Magog. If you go back to Genesis 10, verse 2, people will see that Magog is the second son of Japheth, you know, one of Noah's sons. And so it's just a matter of figuring out where the descendants of Magog settled after the flood, and you can tell who Magog is in this end time battle. Josephus in his Antiquities tells us that Magog is the Scythians. And the Scythians, almost any encyclopedia will tell you this, that the Scythians migrated from Central Asia to southern Russia a little before the time of Ezekiel, about the 8th to the 7th century. So I think Magog is those stands, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, the Ukraine, and then also you mentioned earlier Afghanistan. So when if I'm understanding Bible prophecy correctly, Magog, which would include Afghanistan, will turn against Israel in the last days. And so you pick up the newspaper and you learn about the fall of Afghanistan and the ascendancy of the Taliban there in Afghanistan. Of course, the Taliban being an instrument or an agent of Islam. And so I guess what I would say is the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban is just yet another of many indicators that the Gog-Magog war, the stage for it, is being set as we speak.
And for those who don't know, you know, the Gog-Magog war is laid out in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 38, 39, involves a coalition of nations that will come against Israel.
That's correct. Some of them you read about regularly in your paper, Rosh or Russia, Persia or Iran, and it mentions several of them, and one of them is Magog. Magog, for reasons I tried to explain earlier, represents Central Asia, and Afghanistan is part of Central Asia. And so, you know, the turning of Afghanistan against America, against Israel, being expedited, very sadly, through the Biden administration, much like, by the way, the Carter administration expedited the Islamization of Persia or Iran. The same kind of thing is happening relative to Magog or Afghanistan in the Biden administration. So it's just another sign that the nations that God predicted that would invade Israel in the last days are falling perfectly into formation.
I don't know if our audience, if you, Andy, can see the map I'm showing the audience, but here we see Russia at the top of the map, mm-hmm. Kazakhstan, Mongolia, Uzbekistan, you know, all these nations he was just mentioning, all these stands. And there's, of course, in blue with the underline, Afghanistan. Then we see the red circle with that little sliver of blue of Afghanistan touching right into a small piece of China. What's very interesting is today I found this article here, China and the Taliban begin their romance. Foreign Policy Magazine, July 21st, 2021. Subheadline, Beijing has its eyes set on using Afghanistan as a strategic corridor once U.S. troops are out of the way. I would have to ask myself, has Joe Biden, as the puppet of the CCP, just done a favor for his handlers? The article at Foreign Policy said, amid all this regional angst, China is quietly attempting to secure its interest in post-U.S. Afghanistan. Beijing has reportedly been actively engaging with Kabul on construction of the Peshawar-Kabul motorway, which would connect Pakistan to Afghanistan and make Kabul a participant in China's massive infrastructure and investment plan, which is known as the Belt and Road Initiative. The article goes on to say at the bottom, once completed, these new thoroughfares should enable Beijing to pursue its goals of increased trade with the region and natural resource extraction in Afghanistan. According to a 2014 report, Afghanistan may possess nearly $1 trillion worth of extractable rare earth metals locked within its mountains, end quote. But yet also they're creating this infrastructure, these interstates, these motorways. How might that, Dr. Woods, fall into Bible prophecy with these nations being able to so quickly move their troops?
Well, I think it fits into Bible prophecy perfectly. When you look at Revelation 9, verses 14 through 16, which is the sixth trumpet judgment, and you put that together with Revelation 16, verse 12, which is the sixth bowl judgment, what you see is a giant army of 200 million basically crossing from the Far East, the Orient, which is what we're talking about here, into the Middle East, where Israel is, to such an extent that the Euphrates River, which is that geographical marker that separates the Middle East from the Far East, the Euphrates River is supernaturally dried up. So you sort of put that together with what we said earlier about Afghanistan, and it stands to reason that China, who I believe is this 200 million man army from the East, that's the position that Dr. John Walford, for example, took in his Revelation commentary, China being one of those nations from the remote East or the Far East.
And that's mentioned where in the scriptures?
It would be mentioned Revelation 16 around verse 12. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 9 around verses 14 through 16. People will see that 200 million man army.
And you think that could very well be China?
Well, I think China is one of the players. Whether it also involves a few other nations, you know, is to be determined. But it's just hard for me to imagine that China is not involved at all. And when you go back to the Revelation commentary of Dr. John Walvoord, who is basically considered to be the dean of prophecy students, all the way back in the 1960s, you know, he indicated that China was one of the players. So all of that to say that if all of these things we're saying is true, then it stands to reason that China and Afghanistan would be in conspiracy or cahoots with one another. You know, it's exactly what the Bible lays out for the end time scenario.
So we go back to the map. Afghanistan, the little sliver of blue there, reaches into China. And we see that China has great interest in the minerals in Afghanistan, which mm-hmm. begs the question, at some point, will China and these other nations have an interest in the minerals in Israel? And if so, what natural resources does Israel have, Dr. Woods?
Well, the answer is, of course, they're going to have an interest in the resources in Israel, whether you're talking about natural gas discovered there near the Mediterranean, or you're talking about oil that has been discovered on the Golan Heights, or whether you're talking about the Dead Sea minerals, which some estimate are as worth as much as $5 trillion. However you weigh this out, at some point these nations are going to have a tremendous interest in the wealth of the nation of Israel. That, by the way, is exactly what Ezekiel 38 around verse 12 says, when these nations invade to gain spoil or wealth. And so when you put this together, it's a tremendous prediction that we're seeing coming together in our own lifetime, where the nation of Israel was just a barren expanse. When Mark Twain visited that part of the world in 1867 and wrote about it in his book Innocents Abroad, 1869, there's nothing here is what he said. And yet the prophecies predict that Israel would become phenomenally wealthy to such a point that it would whet the appetite of her surrounding, you know, enemy nations that both the book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel predict will invade in the last days. So all of that to say, Israel must become phenomenally wealthy. That's exactly what's happening. And that becomes the impetus or the incentive for this great end times invasion that we're speaking of here.
I find it kind of ironic that the day Dr. Jimmy DeYoung passes away, he ascends, if you will, his spirit, Afghanistan falls. It's kind of interesting because even on the very day he passed away, I think something prophetic just occurred.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing you bring up there. You see this in a lot of greats of the past. I remember reading in Billy Graham's, I believe it was his biography or his autobiography, it talks about how he came to Christ in a tent meeting through the preaching of a man named Mordecai Ham, the very day that Billy Sunday, a former evangelist, kind of a precursor to Billy Graham, passed away. In other words, Billy Sunday died, and on the same day, Billy Graham, who largely replaced Billy Sunday, was saved in a tent revival meeting. And so I'm always intrigued by the kinds of things that you're bringing up here about, you know, Jimmy DeYoung dying on a certain day, and that's the very day that Afghanistan falls.
Well, I have to wonder, too, as I look at the guys that have passed on, if God isn't in some way giving them a great blessing and gift, because obviously he knows what's coming. And so many of these guys that could have gone on to live a good 5 to 10 years more, because I know people that are 89, 90 years old that are still going. I was with an 89-year-old friend of mine yesterday who's just as, you know, sharp as a tack, and he's in Christian ministry. So we know that our friend John Whitcomb lived well into his 90s. So again, I sometimes have to wonder if God isn't giving these guys a gift for their years of faithfulness and sparing them what's to come.
Well, that very well could be. You know, Enoch walked with the Lord, Genesis 5, and Enoch was taken to heaven, you know, before the flood or the deluge, you know, transpired. And so, you know, we kind of have a tendency to look at death as a horrible thing to experience, but that isn't true for the Christian. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 2, I think it's around verse 14, says that Jesus came into the world to remove the fear of death that had kept humanity in bondage, you know, all their lives. And Paul, as we said earlier, said absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, and over in Philippians 1, verses 21 through 23, the Apostle Paul said, I don't know what to choose. Should I stay on and let it be fruitful labor for the body of Christ? But my preference is to depart and be with the Lord, which is much better. So we have a tendency to look at death as really some kind of terrible thing. But as you're explaining, you know, sometimes death is actually a gift from the Lord.
Well, let's talk about maybe some of the things we talked about with Leo. Executive order being signed by the governor of Tennessee that has shocked many here in Tennessee, talking about setting up COVID internment camps, evaluating people with a phone, moving them there apparently unwillingly. We've gone over the executive order. Anyone can look it up. We have what looks like a job description that they're looking to fill with the U.S. Army for people to run some kind of internment camps. We've shown the screenshot. We know the Department of Homeland Security, as shown by NBC, and again, we showed the screenshot of that. We'll show it again there, Logan. Potential terror threats, opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, puts you right in line with the 9/11 Islamist. It seems like an awful lot's lining up against the Christians and the Jews, Dr. Woods.
Well, it's just hard for me to believe, you know, that we're not entering a season of persecution, you know, here in North America. Of course, the rest of Christianity has been under persecution for 2,000 years, and America has sort of been a bubble, which has allowed us to escape a persecution. But it seems very much to me like the tide is turning. Going back to the beginning of the Biden administration, when he took all of those executive orders and just started signing them one after the other. When you look at James Madison in Federalist Paper number 47, I think it is, he says that if the two branches of government, whether it's executive or legislative or judicial and executive or judicial and legislative, any pick any two you want, when they start to merge together, James Madison in Federalist Paper number 47 says that's the beginning of tyranny. And I think we need to develop a proper definition of tyranny. A tyranny is when two separate branches of government merge together. So when Biden starts to sign executive, I think there was, what, 50 plus executive orders he signed just within the first week, if I remember that right, of his presidency. If you put your ear to the ground and listen very carefully, you can hear James Madison rolling over in his grave, because that's the very thing that he warned about in Federalist Paper number 47. He warned about the merger of two branches of government, in this case, an executive order, the executive taking on a function that belongs only to the legislative branch. The executive branch is supposed to enforce the law, not create law. Creating law resides with the legislative branch of government. And an executive order, basically what it is it's a lawmaking ability in the hands of the executive. And when Biden starts, you know, releasing all of these executive orders, you're seeing a merger of the executive branch and the legislative branch together. And that is tyranny, according to what James Madison said. So we're entering a unique time in American history where I believe American citizens are going to begin, if they're not already, to begin, and we heard it earlier from Leo Homan, to begin to be tyrannized by their own government.
Well, I know we'll be turning to you again and again for your expertise as an attorney, as well as a theologian and pastor. His website is andywoodsministries.org, right, Dr. Woods?
You've got it right. Thank you.
andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. Give us a 30-second message of hope before we conclude, will you?
Well, the message of hope is Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where we are looking for our blessed hope. And our blessed hope is the soon appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, which can take place at any second. So our hope as Christians is not in turning the United States of America around. Now, obviously, I think we should play a role in sort of holding back the decay of our culture. I think you're doing that. Leo Homan is doing that. Mike Lindell is doing that. And those are all, you know, fantastic things. But whether everyone is successful or unsuccessful in that endeavor, that's not where our hope remains as Christians. Our hope is fixing our eyes on the soon return of our Savior. And as the song says, everything else is sinking sand. So I sometimes fear that as Christians, we've got our hope on the wrong things. The next election cycle, who's going to hold the White House, all important things. But we have to, at the end of the day, acknowledge that those things are not our ultimate hope. Our ultimate hope should be fixed on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Woods.
Pleasure to be here, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Andy Woods checking in his website, andywoodsministries.org. Well, before we conclude, if you appreciate what we're doing, and we've been here every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time since 2015. Now, my TV show has been going a lot longer than that. My radio show, well, I've been doing radio for about 30 years now. And you can listen to my radio show at worldviewradio.com. Live each day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time at worldviewradio.com/live. My TV shows are all archived, as well as about 9 or 10 other shows that I produce. Dr. Woods, his show we produce, as well as that of Sharam Hadian, Usama Dakdok, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and the list goes on and on. You'll find them at WVWTV.com. Our streaming bill, because so many go there and watch it, our streaming bill, last I checked, was over $8,000 a month. To give away free radio and free TV shows on demand at worldviewradio.com and WVWTV.com. You'll find, by the way, again, the latest one tonight, my interview with former Pfizer employee Kerry Kingston on what's in the vaccine. You can watch it free of charge as a public service and a ministry of WVW Foundation. You can watch that at WVWTV.com. If you do appreciate what we're doing, we do appreciate your tax-deductible support that enables us to push out free programming. You can make a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com. WVW is in Worldview Weekend. WVWFoundation.com. You'll find our mailing address there if you prefer to send a check. And you can also give during normal business hours using our cell phone number that is there on WVWFoundation.com. That office number there. It's all there. Give online, give by mail, or over the phone. WVWFoundation.com. If you are interested in some of the emergency supplies we have available, including receiving on Friday a large shipment of emergency freeze-dried food, you can purchase that or find out more about it, and that does help to go toward our general operating budget. You can find out more about that at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. Also, don't forget about our Ozarks Worldview Weekend, featuring Mike Lindell, General Michael Flynn, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Bill Federer, from the Economic War Room, Kevin Freeman, and Dr. Andy Woods, all live in person on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, the middle of October. Full details at wvwtv.com/Ozarks. And then as we conclude here on August 15th, Sunday night, 2021, we will be back live from this news desk tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central Time, with Mike Lindell. And he has breaking news related to bad actors and penetration of the cyber symposium last week in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He'll be bringing some very shocking information to you being reported for the first time on frankspeech.com and Lindell TV. It'll come anchored from this news desk with Mike Lindell tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central Time at frankspeech.com. And then I'll be back on radio at 1 p.m. Central Time at worldviewradio.com/live, wvwtv.com/live, and frankspeech.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers, particularly for the DeYoung family tonight. And thank you for watching. Till next time, I'm Brennan House. Take care.